Joshua 7. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Kemri, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avin, to the east of Bethel, and told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there." So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "O sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel had been rooted by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in the preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: that which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. In the morning, present yourselves, tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan that the Lord shall take come forward, family by family. And the family that the Lord takes shall come forward, man by man. He who is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Joshua was taken, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahite. He had the clan of Zerahite come forward by families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua had his family come forward, man by man, and Achan, son of Kemri, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over a can they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remain to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks and we praise you for this opportunity that you give us, O Lord, to hear your voice and your word, O God. And Lord, I pray you guide me and help me, Lord, and put word in my lips and arrange the message in the way that you want it to be, O God. Lord, I pray that your message will bring clear understanding and teaching and impart wisdom and discipline and repentance and salvation for everyone who hear your word, O God. Lord, take your word by the power of the Holy Spirit and bring it to every person who is longing to hear your voice on your word, O God. We pray and we come against all work of devil and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus, O God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Master. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for your word that is written, O God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us to the scripture that we are in need for our life. We thank and we praise you. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord God had made a covenant with his people that he will bring them into the promised land. He will fight the battles for them. The first city that they had been encountered is the city of Jericho. He told them, "I will give you the land, but the first city that you're going to take, give it all to the Lord. Consecrate and dedicate all the city to the Lord. Devote all the city." The term that God used is to devote the whole city to the Lord. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18 and 19, let us read it. He told them, "But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." The Lord make it very clear to them that the whole city belong to the Lord. The whole Jericho, the second city is for you and the rest is for you. But the first city that I'm going to give to you, the city of Jericho, you have to give it all to the Lord. There are devoted things in our life that have to be kept for the Lord. There are devoted things that need to be burned and to be removed from our life. Immorality, sin, corruption, lies, wrong practices, these are doomed to destruction. It should not be found in our life. There are devoted things. Should not be there in your house, in your computer, in your laptop, in your mobile, photos, pictures, worldly things, worldly movie, pornography, things that is, you know very well it is unholy, contradict the word of God. This should not be found in your house in the place of your living things devoted to destruction, idols, false gods, false religion, and things that not in the word of God, picture of saints and worshipping of saints, worshipping of angels, worshipping of false God should not be there in your life, in your room, in your house, in your wallet, in your computer. These need to be removed from your life. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 24, he differentiates to them how they can differentiate between the things that devoted. He told them, then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. He told them anything that can stand the burning, they will burn all. If the thing burned, it will be burned. If the thing that can stand burning, it will go out, it will go to the treasury. The gold, the silver, the iron, it will not be burned, so it will go to the treasury. But the other thing that is burned, they should not keep. They should all devoted to the Lord. For us, how we know the thing that is need to be destroyed and the thing that should be kept to the Lord? We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. The Bible would teach us what are the things that I should not keep in my life. What are the things that I should give to the Lord? The Word of God very clearly would direct us. We have the Holy Spirit and we have the whole Bible in our hand. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. What are the things I have to throw away? Names of boyfriends, names of girlfriends, extramarital affairs, that should not be there in your life. Check your mobile. What are the names and the addresses that you should remove? You should stop contacting such kind of people. You check your clients. What are the businesses, the corrupted, the wrong businesses, the stealing, the manipulation, the income of money that contradict the teaching of the Word of God? This should be removed from your list of contacts. This is devoted to destruction. It has to be removed. What are the songs that you are hearing and the CDs that contain worldly moving and pornography? These are devoted to destruction. Check your food. Are you eating blood? These have to be removed from your refrigerators. The Bible does not tell us to avoid eating blood. Drinks. Is there any wine, beer, or other alcoholic drinks? These are devoted to destruction. This is what the Bible tells us. Do not be drunk with the wine of debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God very clearly to us. And there are things that is devoted to the Lord. We have to keep it holy. The tithe is holy, not like other money. We have to keep it to the Lord. We should not take it away. The wife is holy, not like other woman. We should love her and care for her. The husband is holy, not like other men. He is the husband. The family is holy. We should keep the family. The church is holy. We should be part of the church. The church of God is holy because this is the church of the living God. These are the devoted things that we learn from the scripture. Holiness in life. These are the things that God wants us to devote our life to Him. Joshua chapter 7. Say, but the Israelites acted unfaithfully. Unfaithfulness to the Lord. They have taken the city of Jericho. It was a very big answered prayer, very big miracle have the Lord had done in their life, and the Lord the same have done a very big miracles in your life. He had answered your prayer. When you are in trouble, you need job, you need visa, you need money, you need wisdom, you need to be relieved from certain enemies and problems. God had interfered miraculously in your life and have done it for you. But then, have you acted faithfully to the Lord? That's the question. After God answered your prayer, after God had answered their prayer, after God was faithful to them and fulfilled what He had promised them, the Israelites, they were unfaithful to Him. But what is the importance of faithfulness to God today? When God answered our prayer, when God had helped us, why we need to be faithful to the Lord? Because there are more battles to be faced. There are more meetings we need to going and meet. There's more appointment in front of us. There are more enemies ahead of us we need to deal with. There are more issues. There are more ministries need to be built up. There are more churches need to be planted. There are more souls need to be harvested. And for all these things, whether big or small issues, we need the Lord with us today. If you are not faithful with the Lord today, He will not be with you tomorrow. If you will leave Him, He will leave you. If you will come to Him, He will be with you. If you going to forsake Him, He will forsake you. That is the word of God for us. The Israelites, after they got Jericho, they got stuck in the second station in the city of Ai. If you are not faithful with the Lord today, your next problem, He will not be with you. He will let you face the problem alone. You will fail. You will be in a very big struggle. You will be in a very funny situation because you are acting unfaithfully to the Lord. Many people, when they are in trouble, God is helping them, God is supporting them. But when they get delivered, they forget the Lord. Which time they will find that problem again, trouble again? When they face another trials. They will ask, why like that? Why we are facing a problem again? Why we cannot go forward? Why there's a stagnation? When there's a stagnation, when there's no answer prayer, when there's a big struggle, it means there are sin inside the camp. Sin in your life not yet had been dealt with. The people of God, after they get Jericho, they were not able to progress forward. They went to the next city, but they faced a very big problem. They face casualties. They have seen clearly that the Lord really was not with them. As you pass your life and you are acting unfaithfully to the Lord, you will find that in a situation, or He will put you in a corner, you will realize that He is really not with you, and you need to repent. When they spy out the city of Ai, they say to Joshua, no need to send all the people. 2,000 or 3,000 is enough. We must realize one thing. Even for a small matter, if the Lord is not with us, we cannot do it. We cannot do it with our own strength. The people, they were thinking that the city of Ai is small. Small effort is needed. Small effort or big effort or the whole army. If the Lord is not with them, they cannot do it. Sometimes you people, they think for bigger problem, I will ask God. For a smaller problem, I don't need God. Even a small situation, even a small request, even a small issue, if God is not there in that situation, You cannot do it. You cannot solve it. We need God in our life. There's a time of prayer, a time of preparation, a time that we need to ask God how to do it. The people of God, they went to the second city. They did not inquire of the Lord. Wisdom, they inquire for the Lord when they have the casualties, when they lose the battle. They will start crying and praying. Why this had happened? What we learn here, before we go forward, we should pray and ask the Lord to lead us, to guide us, to help us, to give us the plan and the strategy. Jericho has certain strategy. The city of Ai have another strategy. In the city of Jericho, he told them, march around it for 6 days. On the seventh day, you march seven times, and then all of you shot. Then the city wall collapsed, and they took the city and they devoted it to the Lord. But the city of Ai have another strategy. God had another plan how to take this city. We need to inquire of the Lord for each and every problem in your life, each and every situation in your life. You need to inquire from the Lord how to do it. There are prescribed way. According to the scripture and according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, there's a prescribed way for each and every issue and battle and situation and ministry and meeting or counseling. We have to hear from God, and we have the word of God to direct us how we can handle it and how we can do it. They did not do it. They did not pray before because it is easy. They pray after they get the loss. They pray after they fail. They were praying. It was not expected why this had happened. Joshua was crying to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites? When the enemy was saying, Lord, why this had happened? Lord, why like that? Why we have this problem? Why this had happened all of a sudden, Lord? We are crying as if God is not good. God is good. Joshua was crying to the Lord. Why like that? He tore his clothes, fasting and praying whole day. He asking the Lord. The Lord interfered in the prayer meeting. He stopped the prayer meeting. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? He said, you don't know, Joshua. You not realize what is going on inside your house, your life, your church, your ministry. Joshua, there is sin there. God spoke directly to the leader. What is the problem? God spoke directly to Joshua so that he can convey to the church, to the family of God. What is the problem? God is telling him there is a sin. We must know, and you must know very well, sin can affect and can harm more than the person who have done the sin. Joshua have done, Achan have done the sin. But the sin of Achan had affected his family, had affected the people around him, had affected the soldiers who went forward for the next battle. The sin of Achan had affect the whole Israelite. The whole church will be affected when one is sinning. When you sin, you will be affected. Your family and those immediate contact will be affected. The church will be affected, and the leader of the church will be affected. And that's what we can see in Joshua chapter 7. God is speaking to the leader, and he is telling him in verse 11, Israel has sinned, they have violated my covenant. One has sinned, but the Lord says, Israel have sinned, they have violated my covenant. There is a corporate responsibility of sin. When somebody sin, God will discipline the rest. Because God wants us to keep the camp holy. God wants us to keep the family holy. God wants us to keep the church holy. God wants us to purge the evil from not only our life, our personal life, but from the life of the people around us and from the church. There's a corporate responsibility. We must understand this. Even you are in the corner, you listen to the message now. If you live in sin, your sin will affect you, affect your family, affect the people around you, affect the ministry that you are doing, and can affect the whole church and affect the leader of the church. So be earnest and repent. What are the sin that the Lord has shown in His word to the leader? He told him, they have violated my covenant. Israel was unfaithful. God did his part, but what they promised to the Lord, they did not do. A covenant is between God and man. There are things we need to be faithful to the Lord with. We need to be faithful to God in prayer, reading the Word of God, study the Word of God. We need to be faithful in worship, in praising the Lord, in fasting. We need to be faithful to the family, providing for them and nurturing them with the Word of God. We need to be faithful in our workplaces. We need to be faithful to the church in tithing and offering and attend regularly and doing our ministry faithfully. That is our covenant with the Lord. We need to be faithful also to the society that we live. We need to be a good testimony so they can see Jesus in us. We need to pray for the people around us to be saved. We need to evangelize. We need to do our responsibility and what the Word of God teaching us. We should be faithful to the covenant of the Lord by avoiding wrongdoing, by not living in sin but living in repentance and in holiness, and be at peace with God and the people. What else that the Lord has showed to Joshua? Verse 11, He told him, they have taken some of the devoted things. What are the things that they have taken? The devoted things, the thing that need to be destroyed in your life, still you are keeping, you are still taking a bribe, you steal, you are getting money that is not from the right way, still there is corruption in your life, still you are entertaining worldly music, still you go with worldly friends and bad friends. These are the things that God is not happy to see in your life. He told Joshua, they have stolen. How you steal? How the people of God steal? It is not only that when you put your hand in the other person's wallet or you go into other person's home and steal cash money from him, that is stealing. Christian can steal in another way. When you don't bring your tithes and your offering regularly to the Lord, you are stealing what is belong to God. Not stealing. When you don't do your work at the workplace properly as should be, you are stealing. How a Christian steal? When we don't give the people their rights and what is due for them, we are stealing. When we take other people's belongings and properties by force, this is stealing. That is how Christians steal. They have stolen. What else? They have lied. How the people of God, they lie? Achan, when he took The devotee thinks he buried it in his tent. Yes, he took it. His family saw him. The people around him saw him. But they did not speak up. They did not tell lies. But when we don't speak up, we are not telling the truth. In Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1, why God is hard holding them accountable? How God will hold you accountable when we see something wrong and we don't speak up? Oh, we don't tell about it because we are not Joshua, we are not the leader. This is not my ministry. What I can do, I am not the one who took it. God will hold you responsible. Leviticus chapter 5 verse 1, if a person sins because he does not speak up when he hears a public charge to testify regarding something he has seen or learned about, he will be held responsible. The Israelites, they were God responsible because sure is not only it is Achan who took it, but sure there will be a people who have seen, his family or people around him have seen, but they kept quiet. God will hold us responsible. Sometimes we cover up. Somebody is doing wrong. We don't speak up because if we speak up, we will be upset. Achan will be angry. Or we are also, we may expect that we may get some benefit from that person. That is sin. That is sin. And God will judge you if you do that. God does not want you to cover up sin. God wants us to expose sin so that the evil will be purged from among us and God's wrath will not fall on us. That is the way how we live. When we don't tell the truth, anyhow, if they will not ask me why I should say, there is a sin. And God wants us to deal with sin. Even if you are not the leader, but you are a member of the family of God. And God wants you to be active part to deal with the wrong doing. If we see a brother is sinning, we speak to him, we rebuke him, we correct him. So that he will not die. So that God's wrath will not fall on us. What more things that we can discern from the passage? He said, the Lord, they have put them with their own possessions. They took wrong things and they put them there. In your TV, there is a good channels, Christian channels, the Word of God. But there's also wrong channels that you're still watching. Bad things among the good things. You have the Bible and you have other books you are reading. You have Christian songs and you have movies of worldly things mixed up in your life. Check your life. Check your belonging. What are the things that need to be clear up? What more sin we can discern from Joshua 7? And God wants to clear up. When Joshua faced Achan about his sin, Achan replied in verse 20, it is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. Verse 21, when I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. The word coveted, covetousness. Do not covet. When you see something and you don't have, you covet it. When you covet, that will give you the motive and the emotion and the force to go and take it. Do not covet. That is the command of the Lord. We need to not covet worldly things, material things. We need not to covet the things, the good things that our brothers and sisters have. Don't look to what they have. Look what God has given you. Be faithful to God in this matter. Coveting is a sin. God does not want you to covet, because covet, as we can see here, brought Achan to steal and break his covenant with the Lord. Coveting will cause you to sin against the Lord and break your covenant with Him. What else sin that we can depict from the passage? Achan action. It shows selfishness. Achan did not think about the soldiers who went to the second city. As a cause of his sin, they killed. Achan did not think about his family, how they would suffer because they sinned. Achan was not thinking about the leader, about how the leader and the elders will be affected with his sin, and that is selfishness. That is selfishness. The Lord says clearly in verse 12, that is why the Israelites cannot stand up against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. We need to understand that we cannot stand against the enemies. We cannot stand life trials. We cannot stand the work of devil unless we live a holy life. And that is what God calling us to be, living in holy, and to cleanse our homes, families, and the church and ministry from corruption, from politics, from manipulation, and from favoritism, from injustice. Because these sins will make us liable, will not be able to stand against the enemy. The Lord say, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. The Lord say, I will not be with you anymore. And truly, God will leave you alone if you keep not holiness in your life. If you keep on sinning, God will not be with you. Now, we must understand another things here. Does God give chance to Achan to repent? Does God give him a space to think about what he is doing? There is nothing written here. But there is a time. There is a time between the first battle, the battle of Jericho, and the second battle, the battle of Ai. Where the still what Achan was doing was knowing about it, he had done the wrong things. That was the time for him to repent. And God was waiting for him to repent, to confess his sin and to renounce it. God is waiting for you to confess your sin and to renounce what you are doing wrong. God always give us chance to repent. God is patient, does not want anyone of us to perish, but to come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. So use opportunity now to repent. God giving a good time for Achan to think about what he is doing. Achan know the word of God. He is Israelites. He know what God wants. He has listened to the instruction of the leader, Joshua. He know that he has, because he confessed, I covet. He knows coveting is sin. He knows stealing is sin. He know very well the word of God. Why are you still doing it? God is calling you today to repent. God is giving you chance today as you hear the message to repent. So that you don't need to face the troubles tomorrow because of your sin that you have done and you keep without repentance. Achan was the cousin of Joshua the leader. Finally the sin exposed. In the book of Luke chapter 8 and verse 17 say, Luke 8 verse 17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Nothing that you have done wrong will not be exposed. And you must understand that if you keep wrongdoing, it will be exposed. And not only your family will know, the people around you, the church will know, everyone will know, because God will expose it, and that is His promise. How can He conceal it under the tent? His family, possibly they know about it. People know about it. But finally, God exposes it in front of the whole community, in front of the whole church. And God is calling you today to repent. In the book of Proverbs, there is a promise for you. There is always a promise for us from the Lord. The Lord does not want anyone to perish. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. There is a very nice promise here for us. The Lord says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Again, he conceals sin. He did not speak up. Although God was waiting, and God is waiting for you, confesses them and renounces them today. What you have done wrong? Correct yourself today as you hear the message. God is after you. God does not want you to perish. God loves you. Hear the message very well. Renounce and come to the Lord. What I can have taken? A robe? A big amount of money? That will not help him. That will not bring him life. He is the Lord in his life. We need the Lord in our life. Achan was the cousin of Joshua, but when Joshua knew about him, he cannot compromise. Oh, because he's my cousin, or because he's my relative, or because he's my friend, or because I'm getting benefit of this man. No. We don't want such thing. We need the Lord in our life. Joshua knew it very well, and we must know it very well. We cannot compromise. We cannot keep wrongdoing. Because if we keep wrongdoing in our life, in our families, in the church, in the camp of God, in the ministry of God, God will not be with us in our trials and troubles. God will leave us alone. Even simple problems will not be able to solve. Even our daily living we cannot get. Even small amount of food we cannot provide if the Lord is not with us. Know it very well. And that is the God that we worship. He wants a clear holiness. God wants from us a transformational leadership. A leadership that is transformed. Joshua was in front of a big challenge. His cousin was the one who have done evil and caused trouble. He have to stand firm. Yes, his blood relative, his nearby relative, family ties, all these are strong. But Joshua chose was God, to keep God. Transformational leadership is the key for us today. As a church, to go forward, getting more cities for God, planting more churches, reaching out more lost souls, we need to keep transformational leadership. There's no compromises, no corruption, no manipulation, no politics, no favoritism, no injustice. Dealing justly with each and every situation. That is, should be very clear to us. Otherwise, the Lord will not be with us. Will not go forward with us in our next appointment. In our next ministry. And what God had ordained for us to take and to receive from a blessing will not be achieved unless we clean the church, we clean ourselves, we clean our homes, we clean the ministries, we purge the evil away from us. Some people, they are asking why the church should interfere with the personal issues of the people. The God is not the church is not interfering with the personal issues of the people, with their personal lives. The church is interfering with the sin because the sin is affecting the whole church. Here, we find it clearly in verse 22. So Joshua sent messenger, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver underneath. There's a personal intervention in the life of Achan, in the family of Achan. Sin was exposed, had been dealt with, everyone come to know about it. The Bible teaches us how to deal with sin. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17, it says, if your brother sin against you or sin, go to him. Let us read it. Let's open our Bible to Matthew 18 and verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. We go to him. If somebody is, we are seeing is doing wrong, I have the one who saw him, I should go to him. If you are the one who saw him, you should go to him directly. Between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Achan, you have to return this. That is sin. Achan, you have to throw that. Sister, you should not go with this man. He's not your husband. Brother, you should not sleep with that girl. She's not your wife. Brother, you should clean your laptop and computer from all these rubbish things. You and him, speak to him directly. If he listen to you, you have won your brother or sister over. But if you will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Take one or two with you to speak up with him again, to handle the situation in a prayer, to ask God wisdom, to weigh the case again, and go and speak with him. If he still insists, tell it to the church, the body of Christ. As had happened in the book of Joshua, it was exposed in front of all the church. And if you not listen to the church, treat him as pagan or a tax collector. The way here is to preserve the brother. In the New Testament, the love of Christ here is to purge the evil. When we receive the grace of God, the grace of God, it teaches us to say no to sin. We need to clean our churches. Church should not keep people who are immoral, drunkards, slanderers, using the church for money making, manipulation, politics. God will not be there with us in our life. We should purge our churches from such behavior. Some people, they misunderstand Christ. Christ had come into our life so that the grace of God that we receive will teach us to say no to sin. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 onward. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-control, upright and godly lives in this present age. As we receive Christ, As you receive Christ, the grace of God will teach you to say no. When you receive Christ, Christ is not a license to sin. It's not a license to stealing. It's not a license to immorality. It's not a license to injustice. Some people, they think that Christ, He came, He forgave our sin. He forgave our sin, but He did not tell us to continue to sin. He said to the adulterous woman, neither me, I judge you. Go and sin no more. We have to stop sinning. And we have to cleanse ourselves, our homes, our churches, from sin. Otherwise, that grace, it is a cheap grace. The precious blood of Jesus is not a license for us, for you, and for me, and for the church, to continue to sin. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled. The grace of God teaches us self-control. To live an upright way and godly lives. That is the grace of God. There is a corporate responsibility of the whole church how to deal with sin. Church should not condone sin, but help sinners to repent and come back to the Lord. Those who are not willing to respond, those who are not willing to repent, they cannot be part of the church, part of the ministry, because the whole picture will be affected. God have dealt with His people as they fail to obey Him. In a way, why He did not keep silent? If you would keep silent, then the second city, there will be more sin. The people will be sinning more. But God told them that He will not be really with them. And that's what had happened. So He would teach them to keep the covenant, to live a holy life, to fear Him, to obey Him. And that is what He is teaching us. What He is teaching you today from Joshua 7. Let us come to the Lord, come to the Lord and commit your life fully unto Him. As you have heard the word of God, there is no way that you live in sin, but you confesses and renounces them. Lord, we thank and we praise You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness. Thank You for this very day that You give us, that we can hear Your voice, O God. Let Your word, O God, bring conviction with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let people get repent, O God. Let churches get repent, O Lord. Let ministries get repented, O God. Lord, purge us and cleanse us with Your blood, O Lord. Sanctify us by the truth, Lord. Your word is the truth, O God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, to those who are not willing to repent, Lord, let their sin be exposed, O God, and help us as a church, O Lord, to deal with that sin accordingly, O God. Lord, we commit ourselves not to compromise, not to condone, O God, not to cover up sin, O God, but we will work out with You, O God, to proclaim Your goodness and Your faithfulness, O God. Lord, we give You the praise by telling the truth, O God. We know, Lord, very well, when we condone sin and cover up sin, we are praising the devil. And we rebuke that attitude in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, O God, that we will not only give You the praise with our lips, but our heart and life and deed will proclaim that. Lead us, O God, to victories, O God. We inquire of You, O God. We inquire of You and we are praying, O God, to show us what are the things that we need to correct in our life, O God. Lord, I pray for my brother and sister, and You pray also, Lord, we pray, O God, you show us the things that need to be corrected, O God. Things that need to be removed from our life in the name of Jesus, O God. Direct us, O God. Lead us, O God. We inquire of you, O God, how to do the ministry, how to solve our problem, how to tackle different and various kinds of issue in our life, O God. We trust you, O God. We thank you for your message and thank you for your word, Lord. Even I pray for the Holy Spirit, O God, Lord, that it, as you send it, O Lord, to everyone who hears the message, give more insight. Give more insight and go deep, O God, how to apply the message in their life. We thank and praise you. This is all we ask and pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.